Saga Egmont presents Death on Coffin Lane by Joe Allen, read by Luke R. Francis. To Alan, Ian and Ellen. Prologue. The first thing Cody saw was the noose. She'd thought the kitchen empty, but as she flicked the switch on the wall, the light illuminated the rope Owen held coiled loosely around his outstretched hand. The rest of him, hanging back, betrayed his cowardice. Even before she'd finished processing the scene, she knew she had him on the run, ramming home her advantage with the speed of a prairie rattlesnake. What the goddamned hell do you think you're doing? She was quick, but not quite quick enough, and he jumped away from her in shock, thrusting the rope behind his back as she snatched at it. Owen was a pasty youth, too much enthralled to his books to fritter away precious hours in daylight. There was barely any colour in his face on the best of days, and what there was had drained away the second they both understood that whatever he'd planned for her was doomed to fail. But he tried. Give him his due, he tried. Bitch! He forced the word out, but his voice shook when he must have intended it to intimidate. Then, to her surprise, he launched himself, not towards her, as she'd expected, but at the table in the centre of the room. A modern light fitting hung from the heavy oak beam, which, black with age, supported the old slate roof of the single-storey cottage. His movement set the cord leaping as if in alarm, so that shadows danced around the edges of the kitchen, where under-unit lights normally kept them at bay. In its spotlight, Owen clutched at the table's edge, his knuckles the whitest part of his pale poet's fingers. Come here. I've had enough. You've bullied me long enough. Cody laughed. If there was one thing she'd learned growing up in Wyoming, it was how to tell when a man was capable of handling a rope, and Owen, running the rough hemp loosely between his twitching fingers as if it were woven from poison ivy, wouldn't last half an hour out on the range. Honey, spare me. I don't have time for this. I have 200 people coming to listen to me tomorrow morning, and we need to be ready. If you want to talk to me about your employment conditions, fine. We'll do it later. As the light stilled, the kitchen lost its air of menace. Sure of his impotence, she turned her back and crossed to the granite-topped unit to pick up the folder she'd come in for, though she kept a precautionary eye on his reflection in the plate-glass window. The darkness outside hid the view of Grasmere Lake and Village in their daylight greys and greens, and the rearing Lakeland fells beyond them. The only sign of life was the flickering fire from the hippie camp at the lakeside and the attendant shadows of its occupants, like a coven of witches casting their spells. I'm gonna kill you! He regrouped, though his voice still shook. You're a bitch, and you're a child. I'm 25! He shouted at her, like a teenager rowing with his mother. Then act 25. Get on with the job I'm paying you to do. Or is the pay part of your problem? She turned back to face him, ready to defend herself if she had to run as a last resort, yet certain that she'd have to do neither. Owen was damned by his reasonableness. The pay was the one thing he couldn't complain about. Not the pay, but the conditions. Take it up with your union, if you dare. Which he wouldn't. She softened her tone, but only in mockery, tapping her slipper-shod foot so that he knew she had better things to do. Maybe you need a break, Owen. Maybe you've been working too hard. After tomorrow is over, we can both have a holiday. I'm gonna hang you. I'm gonna string you up from that beam and watch you die. Sweat gathered under his long black fringe, giving him the look of a vampire caught out by the dawn. Full soon thy soul shall have her earthly. She slammed the folder down on the table and had the satisfaction of seeing him jump a foot backwards, the quotation left incomplete. All right, let's get serious. Who put you up to this? Because Owen sure as hell wasn't capable of thinking it up for